dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is The War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. So there's a couple things that I think, like, taken all together inform, you know, the view I have as to this war and everything. The first is the understanding that the Israelis are the bad guys. No uncertain terms, in every possible way you can imagine, they are the bad. They are the religious extremists. That anything you accuse Iran of doing, Israel does to an even greater degree. Okay, so. They're the bad guys, all right? They also, of course, are responsible for a lot of what has gone wrong in this country. Hell, I think you could put probably a majority. Oh, there's a possible deal tonight. Good news expected. Oh, well, wonderful. Can't wait to see that. Trump on Pakistan's two-week deadline extension request. I've not been fully briefed, but I can say this. I know him very well. He's a highly respected man all over. Then Secretary Leavitt said the president has been made aware of the proposal and a response will come. Okay. So Trump's going to say he's extending the deadline 2 weeks. Sounds like that's what's going to happen. But not from Iran. But the request is not from Iran. It was from the Pakistan prime minister. Pakistan has nukes, you know. Hey, Pakistan, you should nuke Israel. Somebody tell Pakistan I said that. Again, this might seem extreme. It's not. It's not extreme. Look at what Israel has done to Gaza. That is extreme. Look at what Israel is doing as we speak to Palestinians. That is extreme in the same way that the Nazis were extreme when they decided that an entire race of people should be given the death penalty. That's what Israel's doing to the Palestinians as we speak. And this is like part of the reason why I'm just like, I gotta up the rhetoric a little bit, deliberately up the rhetoric. Not in a way that's 2 weeks. Oh, another 2 weeks. Not in a way that's dishonest or deceptive, but just because it's like people are so blind to like what their side is saying. I almost just have to be like, all right, then I guess I'll be the same way in the opposite direction. I'm not the one calling for an entire civilization to be ended in a single day by incinerating them all. That's crazy. That's the president of the United States and his actual policy. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I say Israel must be destroyed. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. It's like, no, y'all, we are actively about to destroy Iran. That's what you should be upset about. I'm just trying to put it in perspective. And Israel does deserve to be destroyed. It's the humanitarian thing to do. It's the loving thing to do. It's the best possible thing to do. U.S.-Israel bomb Iran's largest aluminum producer. Oh, good. Oh, great. Well, great. I'm sure that'll end the war, I bet. I don't know. I got to open up the phone lines for your calls because, especially if you disagree with me, I got to know what's wrong with you. I've got to know what have they done to you that's made you this way to believe that the way that Trump is acting or Israel is acting it really is our fault. We're just letting this happen. It's so pathetic. This is what Israel's doing. Clip number 9 here. This is what they're doing in Lebanon. Lebanon, of all places. Let's watch. There you go. Just eradicating a village. Again, why? Because Hezbollah didn't let Israel invade and destroy them already. Just again, civilian infrastructure. They're just eradicating a tenth of the Lebanese to make room for themselves. And we've got clip number 1 here, Ben-Gavir. the national security minister, talking about just gleefully expressing bloodlust. It's crazy. Let's watch. They published a statement. Hamas published a statement saying the death penalty for terrorists is bad. Do you hear that? Hamas, which murdered our children, which massacred our women, which raped them, and the death penalty law for terrorists is immoral. So I say to them, this is the most moral law there is. And it's a law that must exist because it's for the sake of all of our children, and we must pass it, and we will execute them. With God's help, they told me the High Court will block it. The High Court will block it. First of all, I saw that in the prisons. They said the High Court would block it. I managed to make the change. I saw with the arming policy, they told me the High Court would block it. I managed to make the change. I want to tell you one more thing. The High Court needs to correct the law. Correct the High Court, not the law. This law is the right law. And the sentence will be passed under this law. And the punishment, make no mistake. And I say this as somebody who took them from their roll calls, their canteens, their food, their patrols, their yard walks, their studies, their amenities. As somebody who took everything from them, I also want to take their lives. It is right, it is just, it is true, and that is what will happen. Like, y'all, if I ever say anything one-tenth as insane, as bloodthirsty, as despicable as that disgusting terrorist scum just said, shoot me in the head, okay? So again, this is like why it's like that guy's a literal terrorist, right? His history, he was like actually an actual terrorist. Just like all of the leaders of Israel have always been literal terrorists. Let me say that again. All of the leaders of Israel have all been literal terrorists from the beginning. And not like, oh, they do things I don't like. Like, no, they invented terrorism. They invented the strategy of bombing civilians to try to get political pressure. And they did it. Who'd they do it to? Why did they start doing terrorism? It's a very important story to know right now. Who'd they start doing terrorism to? What civilians and what allies did they start bombing? And why did they do it? The answer is they started bombing the British. Why did they do it? Because Britain helped them. Because Britain went to war for them. Because Britain sacrificed their own men and their own victory in World War I to serve the Jews, to create a Jewish homeland. And as soon as they got that homeland, what did they do? Invented terrorism and bombed the hell out of the British to drive them out. So, again, it's like if you know history and you see America doing exactly what Britain did, you don't think it's going to go exactly the same way it went with Britain? These people are psychotic. They're murderers. They're monsters. And everything they say is a projection. He wants to talk about October 7th. Oh, they killed our children, killed our women. October 7th was a setup. You all let it happen on purpose. Benjamin Netanyahu, in his own words, admitted to funding Hamas to the tune of $35 million a month for years on end. Did the stand down order before the invasion started on October 7th. Did another stand down order to keep the response from happening for 6 hours after it started. They deliberately moved the music festival. And like, again, like all this stuff, if you really think about it, it's impossible to come to a different conclusion. Do you know what the music festival was? Nova Music Festival. Do you remember why they were having the music festival? It was ostensibly in support of the Gazans. It was a like liberal Israeli, you know, we don't want to be at war with the Gazans event. Now, I don't exactly understand the method or motive there, because they didn't actually invite anybody from Gaza to be there. They didn't actually have any way to tangibly help Gaza. They were actually just having a drug-fueled orgy on the edge of Gaza, overlooking the open-air prison full of suffering, having a big party saying, this is for you. So, I mean, I don't really get what the purpose of it was, but do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand that the hardline conservative Israelis who were setting up October 7th so that they could commit a genocide against the women and children of Gaza, deliberately forced the liberal Israelis to have a music festival right where they knew Hamas was going to attack. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what happened here? That this is the way these people think? They know the Hamas attack is coming. They were told by Egypt. They had the stand down order to allow it to happen. And 2 days before, they just so happened to move the quote unquote Peace for Gaza music festival to the exact area they knew Hamas would be attacking. Do you think that was an accident? Do you really think that was an accident? Or do you think that was a lesson being taught by the Israeli leadership? Oh, you want peace with Gaza, do you? Oh, you think we should be nice to the Palestinians, do you? You idiots. Guess what? They're all going to kill you because we're going to set it up. That'll prove you wrong. You don't think that's what they did? You don't think that's... was part of their thinking? I think that's exactly what they did. I think they felt that all these Israelis who didn't want war with Gaza needed to be taught a lesson. So they put the music festival right in the path of the attack, allowed the attack to go on, allowed the festival goers to be raped or killed or murdered, and then burned them all to death with the attack helicopters anyway in the Hannibal Directive. And then used their death cry crocodile tears and say, they killed our children and women. I'm not mocking the death of the children and women. These people are evil. They set it up, and then they will pretend to be sad about it to justify the extensive years-long murder campaign that they've been planning for decades. You understand who we're dealing with? They want to talk about, Hamas rapes our people. You literally just had a gigantic case where prisoners, Palestinian prisoners, were being systematically raped by their guards to the point that they needed surgery. And when this was discovered, the person that discovered and exposed it herself was harassed into suicide. That's the thing. Like, I can talk about all this other stuff. I feel like I just need to just like, I could spend all day just sort of going through all of the evil that Israel has done in the last 3 years. You want to take it back 50 years? It's always been like this. There's never been a time where Israel was not a murderous, terroristic, psychotic state of pedophiles. This is what it's for. It's why it was created by the Rothschilds. How the Rothschilds get it? The Balfour Declaration. By using their control over the American media system to influence America into World War I in exchange for England, for Britain, securing Palestine for them. And the way they secured Palestine for them was drawing British soldiers off the front line in France to take over, you know, Ottoman holdings in the Middle East and create the mandate system. Meaning that, you know, that was like a crucial part of World War I. It was like the big death machine part. Like, they really could have used the British soldiers on the line, but they had more important concerns. Pull them off the line, sure. Bunch of French people die. Bunch of, you know, advancements get made by the Germans. They do really well, and it goes terribly. But in exchange, you get America to enter the war, and all of this is being orchestrated by the Rothschilds and their agents in America, the proto-Jeffrey Epsteins, whoever was Jeffrey Epstein before him. I mean, again, it just goes on and on, but it's like, these are the bad guys, which means we're the bad guys. We're the bad guys in this situation. I don't know what else to tell you. Ben-Gvir sitting there going, these prisoners, Palestinian prisoners, some of whom are children, none of whom have been given an adequate trial. I mean, it just feels like ridiculous even trying to like explain this, because it's not like they're hiding it. He just sits there and is like, yeah, I took away everything from them. He's like, we have these prisoners, and basically we give them bare minimum sustenance just to keep them alive, and that's basically too much. He's like, I took away their right to go outside. I took away their right to move. I took away their right to eat enough food or to read. So right now, you've got, God only knows, tens of thousands of Palestinian prisoners who are just being treated like worse than dogs, like just brutalized beyond description. And Ben-Gvir is literally just like giddy at the fact that he's going to get to personally strangle them all to death. And this is who we're fighting for. We have to defeat them. We have to defeat them. And Trump is on their team and is doing everything for them. And could have literally been just like the greatest hero the world's ever seen. He was in a position where he, perhaps alone amongst any body ever, had the ability, the power, the influence, the popularity, the untouchable love of the American people. He could have been the one to do it. And hell, even if they gave him a bunch of money, like this, again, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. And this is the thing about trying to like rationalize this. Trump is being set up to be the fall guy for all of this. So even the arguments about like, well, he's benefiting from it, he's in on it, you know, really, he's the one doing this. It's like they're going to throw him in prison for the rest of his life. He has to realize that. If Trump was really the person that we thought he was, he would have taken Miriam Adelson's $200 million. And the instant that he took the oath of office, he would have cast her to the side. Said, screw you, Miriam. Thanks for getting me here. I'm here for America now. And we would have literally built golden statues of him in every town square. If he had actually used his incredible power and popularity we probably would have made him emperor. The left and the right would have been thrilled, because the left hates Israel so much. And the right wing just wants basic national competence. And this is what I mean when I started this segment and said, you know, it's the combination. It's how utterly, unrepentantly, openly, aggressively evil Israel is. How everything I've seen out of Iran has made me think that they are reasonable and intelligent and thoughtful and not trying to kill everybody all the time like Israel is. But it's all of that in context of America collapsing just as rapidly as we ever were before, maybe even more so with Trump. And I've got like a lot of videos that all tie directly into this. Clip number 17. Let's just go through these real quick. We won't watch the whole thing. I'll just tell you what they are so you can understand what I'm talking about. Clip number 17. Let's go to that. This is a like 80-year-old man who's still having to deliver dominoes because he's got like a medical condition. Why is a single American over the age of 60 having to work? We're the wealthiest country in the history of the world. We've got $1.5 trillion to spend in war overseas. But our citizens, in many cases our veterans, put their lives on the line for our country, are having to work utterly pathetic minimum wage jobs in their old age just to keep the lights on, because they have nothing, because everything has been stolen from them. Let's go to clip number 15 or 14. This is the New York City chief equity officer who's literally describing a program to steal from white people and give to non-white people, just deliberately breaking every civil rights law. And it just doesn't matter, because white people are under absolute attack from every different angle. And it's endless. And again, unrepentant, directed, obviously orchestrated, a deliberate attack against us. And go on and on. The giant prison planet infrastructure, server farms that they're building. Absolutely outrageous. We can go to clip 35 here. Governor Greg Abbott telling Indians, I guess, that their manifest destiny is to take over Texas. Texas will be a land for the Indian community, he says, forever. Meanwhile, the Indian population in places like Irvine and little towns outside of Dallas have gone from 2% to 20% in 15 years. And there are literally entire swaths of Texas that are utterly unrecognizable. Out of all of the people under 18 in Texas, white people are 20%. They're 95% in the 70s. Genocide. We're being genocided in our state. We're being taken over. We're being invaded and destroyed. So it's like, our people don't have anything. People who have lived their lives as dutiful, you know, God-fearing, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens have absolutely nothing and are having to work until the day they die just so they don't starve. Meanwhile, a bunch of Indian scam artists are living in million-dollar houses built specifically for them with taxpayer money, and they're given taxpayer funds to start their businesses that are frequented, and all of their customers are likewise foreigners using taxpayer money. Our bridges aren't being repaired. It takes 4 hours to get through security at the airport. We're not safe. We're not prosperous. We're not happy. We're not learning anything. Our kids are all retarded. There's poison in the food and water. None of this is being even addressed, let alone solved. And we're going to war overseas. So it's both of these things. And it's deliberate. And we have to stop taking it. And that's the only solution. Begging these people, you know, you might as well hold hands and sing Kumbaya around a Iranian power plant, because they'll just kill you. They don't give a damn. Do we need to hear from Ben-Gavir again? Do we need to know what he thinks about you? Because you're a Palestinian in his eyes. You understand that? What is the difference? There's not one. There's two classes of people to these scumbag supremacists. Jews and everybody else. You're everybody else. I'm everybody else. When they talk about Palestinians, understand they're talking about you, talking about Europeans. Sometimes they just straight up say it about Europeans. And this is who we're sacrificing our empire for? This is who we're allowing to destroy our empire so they can build theirs? I think they should be destroyed. I think they all need to be destroyed, and I think their ideology needs to be destroyed, like the Nazis were. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.